everyone. I'm Jensine Bard, and welcome to Testimony, where truth is told, lives are changed, and hope is given. Revelation 12:11 tells us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, a testimony of your story for His glory. Is there a difference between mental illness and demon oppression? Or is it one and the same? And how does a child process this behavior when she becomes the brunt of its rage? And what if that person is your own mother? Years of horrific abuse, both verbally and physically, would soon take its toll on my next guest, leading her down a path of self-destruction, self-loathing, the occult, drugs, and tragic relationships. How did she survive? Better yet, how did she overcome and learn to thrive? Here to talk about her incredible story in part one of our two-part conversation from her now classic autobiography, Stormy, A Story of Forgiveness and Healing, is award-winning, best-selling author and speaker who will also talk about her latest in the phenomenal best-selling series, The Power of a Praying Life, Finding the Freedom, Wholeness, and True Success God Has for You. Please welcome with me to Testimony the beautiful, talented, and gracious Stormy Omardian. Stormy, welcome to Testimony.
Thank you, Jensine, and thank you for that introduction. Really, I'm so honored to be on your program.
Well, it's an honor to have you, and you deserve every word of that. And Stormy, I can't begin to tell you how impacted I was by your autobiography. What you had to endure would have been enough for anyone to call it quits, and you even attempted that a time or two, but for the grace of God. Stormy, would you please begin to tell us that story?
Well, I was raised by a mentally ill mother, a severely mentally ill mother, and the way she coped with me, she was physically abusive and verbally abusive, but the thing that affected me the most was being locked in a closet much of my early childhood. And I was never quite sure why I was put there, and it seems like after I was put there, she forgot about me until my dad came home, and then I was let out of the closet. But it was so much a time that it was instilled in me just feelings of fear and anxiety and depression and sadness and feelings of hopelessness and futility, and so much so that by the time I was a young woman and out of the house, I still had those emotional feelings, those feelings of depression and anxiety and sadness and every negative emotion you can imagine, you know, tremendous feelings of loneliness, especially. And in my youth, once I got out of high school, I didn't do any of these things in high school, but once I got out of high school, I was just always looking for some kind of peace or some kind of relief from the pain that I felt. And so I went into drugs and alcohol and unhealthy relationships, occult practices, Eastern religions, just anything, you know, that I could find that I thought would lead me out of this, you know, or just take away the pain for a while. But everything I did just made things worse. You know, I just got worse. I just got the feelings intensified. You know, it was like a temporary relief, but nothing ever lasted, you know. And so it wasn't until I was 28 years old, and I had attempted to kill myself when I was 14, just because I wanted to end the pain, and that, of course, didn't succeed. And here 14 years later, I was at that same point again where I had tried everything, and nothing was working. I thought if I worked hard, you know, I'd make people love me, and that would take care of everything, and just nothing worked at all, and I could never believe that anything good was ever going to happen in my life. And so I decided again I was going to take my life. I just didn't want to wake up with the pain anymore. It wasn't that I didn't want to live, but I didn't see any way out of the life that I was living and the way I was. And I just saw no hope. And so I was planning to take my life, only this time I was going to have enough pills and the right pills to do the job. And so as I was gathering those pills from friends, a friend of mine took me to meet her pastor, and he talked to me about the Lord, about Jesus, and about how God had a plan for my life, which I never heard before, and that God wanted to change me from the inside out, and he had things, and he had a plan for my life that would make me become all that he created me to be. And I loved what I was hearing, and so the pastor gave me 3 books to read, one of which was the Gospel of John, and there were 2 other Christian books. And he said, go home and read these and then come back the following week. And so I did, and he asked me what I thought of those books, and I said, I believe they're the truth. Because when I read them, the truth just struck me that this was true, what John was saying, you know, about the Lord. And so I received the Lord in his office, and that's when my life began to happen. That's when the long, dark tunnel of my life began to have some light at the end of it, you know. And so I started going to church and going to, you know, reading the Bible and learning how to pray and learning how to worship and all of these things. My life was changed every time I did that, every time I was in the Word, every time I prayed. I mean, just things began to happen. It was amazing.
This had to be miraculous for you, really. This had to be like water in the desert, because Tell our listeners some of the things your mother said to you and why you would feel the way that you did about yourself.
Well, the things that I can actually repeat on the air were things like, you're never going to amount to anything, you're worthless, why are you living, there's no hope for you. It's just those kind of things. It was always the worst thing a child wants to hear, you know. And you'll never amount to anything was the thing I remember the most. You'll just never amount to anything, you're nothing, you know. And it was so ingrained in me that I believed it. And even though I didn't want to, I did. And believing that, you feel hopeless, because how can you change yourself? We don't have the power to change ourselves. I didn't have anything going on my side. We were extremely poor, so you don't have the money to get a great education, or you don't have the money to, you know, take lessons or get better at what you do or anything like that. You just, you know, you're just trying to survive every day. And so the negative things she said to me were really ingrained in my soul.
And what our listeners also need to know is that you were never told that you were beautiful or attractive, and you're astonishingly beautiful. You were in the entertainment industry. You were working at that time, singing, dancing with the Glenn Campbell Show. You were never not busy, working 24/7. You had a thriving career, and yet, through all of this and the accolades and the applause, you felt like what?
Oh, I felt like nothing. I always felt like nothing. I was always in fear. I had tremendous anxiety attacks, and I was always in fear that people were going to find out what a nothing I truly was. You know, so I figured that this is all a good big front that I'm putting up. You know, someday they're going to find out that I can't do this. I can't do the things I'm doing. That I really don't have it. You know, and so I was always afraid of that. And finally, it just really took its toll. And that's where I really just wanted to end my life, because I couldn't see any future at all.
So now take us to the time you're 28 years old, and is this when you decide, this is it, I'm out of here? And then the intervention that led you to a relationship with Jesus Christ that changed everything for you.
Yes, this is when a friend of mine was working with me on a couple TV shows and some recordings as well, and she'd talked to me about the Lord quite a bit, and I thought, well, that's nice, you know, that's nice for her. And but I just was never open to it. I just didn't think it was a real thing. I thought it was just, you know, I didn't think it was real at all. I didn't understand it at all. And so I was really depressed, and my main show, the Glenn Campbell Show, was getting canceled, and some other things were canceling out, too, because that was a kind of a transition time, and back then where all these musical shows were being canceled, and that's what I was working on, these musical comedy things. And so I saw my work going, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm getting older, I have no future, I mean, I just can't keep up the front anymore. We were on a recording session, and my friend said, look, I can see you're not doing well at all. She says, why don't you come with me to meet my pastor? And I was hesitating even then at that late stage. And she said, really, what have you got to lose? Just come and meet him, you know. And so I thought, okay, I will do that. And so I did. This is right in the middle of when I'm collecting all these sleeping pills so that I can really go to sleep and never wake up with the pain anymore. And so when I went to meet him, he just talk to me about Jesus as if he was his best friend. And it was fascinating to hear him talk about what the Lord had planned for me and what he had in store for my life. And if I received him, then he could, you know, by his spirit, he would change me from the inside out. And I really loved hearing that. And so when I received the Lord in his office, I really felt a strange sensation of hope for the first time. I really never felt that before. And I just started going toward that light, you know, that light that was in me. I started learning about who Jesus was and what he had done. And I also learned about the power of prayer, and that was a big thing for me. I had no idea about the power of prayer at all. And I was still, even after I received the Lord and had been going to church and learning about God and, you know, reading the Bible and getting the great teaching that we got there, and I still had depressions that came upon me and would last like 2 weeks at a time where I could barely function. And in all this time, about a year after I received the Lord, I had met my husband before I received the Lord and on recording sessions that we had done. But after I started going to that church, he was going to that church as well, and we got married about a year later. So I thought that this would be the end of the depression. You know, I married a guy who loved me, and I loved him, and had the Lord, and I thought my depression would be over, and I couldn't figure out why I still had these depressions. They were so bad. And finally, my husband said, "Why don't you go to the church?" And they have counselors there. They had Christian counselors there who really understood the Bible and what God does in our lives, how he restores us and how he makes us whole and sets us free. And he says, "Why don't you go see one of the counselors there?" And the pastor's wife. And so I did. And I told her the whole story of my life. And she had me fast and pray for 3 days and come back to her office. And she said, "While you're fasting and praying," she says, "I want you to write down any sin that comes to your mind. You know, when you receive the Lord, you're forgiven of your sins, but there's still things that have hooks in you, you know, that you haven't let go of, or you still have the consequences of them hanging over your head." And I still had a lot of that. And so anything that came to my mind, I wrote down. And so when I went back to the counseling office, she had me, first of all, just lift up those sins in the papers that I had. I just lifted it up to the Lord and confessed them as sin before him. And she had me renounce all of my occult involvement. I had stopped practicing it once I received the Lord, but I never really had gone before the Lord and just renounced that practice and had my involvement in it. And she had me confess my unforgiveness toward my mother. And once I did those three things, she prayed for me. And when she did, I really felt a physical manifestation of that depression lifting. It just lifted. And it was amazing. I was shocked. I didn't even know that could happen. It's not something I could even conjure up in my mind, because I couldn't even have thought it up in my mind.
We're going to take a break and have you come back next week to finish this wonderful story.
Great.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Stormy O'Martin, author of the best-selling A Story of Forgiveness and Healing, her autobiography. Stormy, thank you for being with us. We look forward to more of your story next week on Testimony.
That'll be great. Thank you.
God bless you.
If you would like more information, you can visit our website at jensinebard.com. That's one word, jensinebard.com. Or write to us at Testimony, P.O. Box 1333, Palm Desert, California, 92261. That's P.O. Box 1333, Palm Desert, California, 92261. I'm Jensine Bard. Please join us again for Testimony.
Last week, you heard the heart-wrenching and unbelievable story of a young child horrifically abused by the parent that was supposed to love and care for her. Stormy did not know the meaning of that word. Did anyone truly care for her? Did God? And if yes, why did she have to be locked in a closet with rats for hours on end? And where was her father to defend her from the rages of her mother, a diagnosed schizophrenic whose own set of, quote, imaginary enemies caused unending havoc in the home and lives of anyone who even came close. And finally, how did my next guest not only survive, but learn to thrive in the midst of it all? Here to share more of her incredible story of overcoming is award-winning, best-selling author and speaker whose record-breaking series on prayer has sold over 14 million books worldwide, her latest being The Power of a Praying Life, Finding the Freedom, Wholeness, and True Success God Has for You. Ladies and gentlemen, my very special and honored guest, Stormy Omardian. Stormy, welcome back to Testimony.
Thank you, Jensine. It's so good to be back.
Stormy, before we begin more of your story, you are also the wife of renowned Grammy Award-winning composer and producer Michael Omardian, and the two of you together have sung and penned some of Christian music's most beloved songs. How special is it knowing that God put you two together when all of your other relationships outside of Christ ended in failure?
Well, it was really the Lord, absolutely, and we knew it, too. We had prayed so much about our relationship, not wanting to make a mistake, not wanting to do anything outside the will of God. You know, we'd done those kind of things, and I especially had, and it just led to such disasters that it was so nice to be able to submit this whole relationship to God and see where it took us. And so when we felt led to be married, we knew it was God. We've never doubted that, you know. And although we had tremendous struggles, because I came into the marriage with a lot of hurt and, you know, emotional damage, and he came in with a lot of anger. And those two things together really did not mesh well. And this is before I found any deliverance from all those, you know, demons of my past, you know, all of the anxiety and depression and feelings of hopelessness and futility and, you know, just all those negative emotions, the loneliness, you know, and which can be a really painful thing. And then him having all that anger, and he would sometimes direct it toward me, and that would make me feel worse, and then I'd withdraw from him, and it was just horrible. It was just such a... It was really hard, really, really hard, because we were so broken, both of us. And it was when I finally started getting free of all that, you know, finding out and discovering, really, that God will set us free from all that. I mean, I really had never really knew what that meant, never really knew that you could get absolutely delivered from all that stuff. And when I had the chance to have that happen, where I went to the counseling office of the church and was... had Christian counseling, and they prayed for me, and I really got free of that depression, and I got free of the anxiety, and little by little got free of all my fear and all those things, and we got, you know, marriage counseling as well, and that really made such a difference. And we've been married 38 years, and it's really a miracle of God. Really, if we hadn't had the Lord, we've been divorced for sure, and we really were able to work through so much because of the Lord.
Now, Stormy, I want to talk about something that really isn't talked about too much today, believe it or not. You are the product of an abused victim at the hands of your own mother. But when you got married and had your own children, that started to translate toward them. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, that was pretty shocking, because I had gotten free of all that unforgiveness toward my mother and had really come a long way before I had my first child. And when I brought my son home from the hospital, I had all this, you know, anger come up in me toward my mother, because I'm thinking, how can you treat your own child the way my mother treated me? And so I had all this unforgiveness coming up again. So I had to deal with that. It's not like I was dealing with it all over again. I was dealing with new levels of unforgiveness that were coming forth for me to be set free of. And but one night when my baby was crying and crying and crying, I couldn't get him to stop crying. I'm trying to do everything and a good mother knows how to do, and he wouldn't stop crying, and his crying became a rejection of me, like, oh, you know, you're not a good enough mother, you're not doing the right thing. That's what I'm thinking. Something just snapped in me, and I really wanted to hit him. I wanted to throw him across the room. I wanted to hit him. And thank God I had the Lord, and I had enough healing that I had the sense enough to just put him down in his crib and just get out of the bedroom and just go in my own room and just fall on my knees before the Lord and just say, God, there's just something horrible in me. Horrible feelings of wanting to hurt my son, and I don't even know where it's coming from. It's like it's a monster inside of me. And I just stayed there and prayed until the Lord just lifted that. And eventually called the same counselor that I went to get free of all the depression and anxiety and fear and stuff. I went to I told my husband first, and then we called the same counselor, and she, recommended that we just continue to pray, because the baby wasn't in any danger, because I wasn't going to do anything to him. You know, I had that much sense, had that much healing. But every time that happened, every time those feelings would well up in me, I just put the baby down and get out of the room and get before the Lord again. And just that happened. I just gradually, over a period of about 3 years, I just finally got rid of it totally before my second child was born. And that was just the Lord walking me step by step through that healing process that He has for us. You know, sometimes He'll heal us instantly, like He did for me with the depression and anxiety, and sometimes it's a slow walk with Him where you learn to trust Him and believe in Him and to trust His Word and to, you know, let Him take you where you need to go in order to come to a place where you realize who you are in the Lord and what is the lie that you're living. You know, I was living this lie that, you know, still that I wasn't worth anything, that I was a bad mother, that all these things. And that was the lie. That was what the Lord put in me.
And that is a lie, because anyone looking at you would say, she has no problems, she's gorgeous, she's beautiful, a wonderful, handsome husband, a great career, a prolific writer. You've written books on the power of praying for your adult children, your husband, the power of a praying woman, the power of a praying parent. You've sold over 14 million of these books. And your latest, ladies and gentlemen, for those who may have just tuned in, you're listening to Stormy Omardian, author of Stormy, her autobiography, of which we're talking about today, a story of forgiveness and healing. You know, the effects of abuse on a child cannot be understated, can they, Stormy?
No, it's really horrible. You can't believe how something can cripple you for the rest of your life. You know, people look at child abuse as if, like, okay, you know, get over it, you know. It's done, get over it, especially in child sexual abuse, where they, you know, say, well, it's done, it was in the past, get over it. It's not. You can't just tell somebody to get over it and have them get over it. There's a lot of healing. Part of them has been absolutely broken, and it has to be restored. And the Lord is really the only one who could do that completely. I mean, you can find help, and thank God for people who can help us, you know, who have been abused to cope with things. But as far as getting absolutely 100% delivered from it, only the Lord can do that.
So let me ask you a question here. Now, when you say you've been delivered from it, does that mean that, and not to put words in your mouth, but correct me if I'm wrong, does that mean you may still have the memory of it, but you don't have any of the effects of it? You have totally been
right,
forgiven and cleansed and released from it.
Yes, absolutely. 100%. Don't ever think about it. I mean, you remember it, but I don't, those feelings don't come up like that. I don't have that kind of a feeling. Of course I am sensitive to being rejected. I will take that to the Lord if I experience something that's a kind of a rejection. I take it to the Lord. I don't let it destroy me, you know, like I would have normally without the Lord, you know. So,
right.
So I remember things, but I don't, it doesn't have the power over me. Those memories don't have the power over me like they did.
So it's a continuing submitting yourself to the Lord, the Lordship of Jesus Christ, being immersed in His Word and praise music. You're also a singer and a songwriter. You and your husband, Michael Omardian, have written songs together. You've established a wonderful career, and you're reaching out to millions across the United States and all around the world with your tremendous books. Stormy, what would you say to someone listening today who says, you don't know my story, you have no idea what I've been through, and Jesus hasn't shown up for me, why should I expect He'll do it now?
Well, the thing is, I kind of felt that way in the beginning, you know, because why did I have to go through this? Why do I have these feelings? Why can't I ever get on top of them? But it wasn't until I really learned how to pray, and not only pray by myself, but to pray with other people about the things that were hurting me. And that is really important, to be able to have that consistent, ongoing prayer. And if you have trouble praying with somebody else on a regular basis, with like a prayer partner, it's really a powerful thing. And I really attribute a lot of my healing to that, to people praying for me. Because every time I got set free of something, it was always when I was in prayer or people were praying for me. You know, and you can get set free when you're reading the Word, too. But when you're tremendously broken inside, you need help. You just need help. You need someone who can talk to you. You need someone who can pray with you, who understands the power of prayer and believes in the power of God and the desire of God to answer those prayers.
And how encouraging is that, that no matter how lonely someone might feel or rejected or discarded or they may feel like they're just a throwaway human being in this society, Jesus Christ will never throw us away, and whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Stormy, I'd like for you to end our program today with a prayer. I'd like for you to reach out to that woman or that man, that little girl, that little boy that is listening to you today that just hasn't had any hope. They don't have a family. They don't even have a church they can go to. Someone in the entertainment industry who doesn't feel like they can talk to anybody about it. Talk to the person who is an abuser themselves, but they're too ashamed to say anything about it. Stormy, I'd like you to take the next minute of our program and speak to that person, encourage them, tell them how you overcame it, and then close us out with prayer. Stormy Omardian, thank you and God bless you for being with us on Testimony. We are all ears.
I really want to speak to anyone who's hurting today because I know how awful it is to feel hurt. And I want to pray for you right now, and I want you to pray with me just silently as I'm praying and agree with me about what I'm praying about. Lord, I lift up to you every single person who is listening right now that has hurt in their heart. And I want you to take away, Lord, the hopelessness that they feel, and give them hope, Lord. Help them to understand that you are listening to their prayers, that you care about them, and not only that, you have the power to heal them of all of those painful, negative emotions, Lord. I pray that you will take away all sadness, Lord, that you will take away that anxiety that can keep us from becoming all you made us to be, Lord. I pray that you will help them to know that you are their Savior, and not only that, you are their deliverer and healer of the mind, body, and emotions, Lord. And I know that you want them to live in wholeness. That is your plan for their life. I pray that you will lead them to someone whom they can talk to, who can pray with them. God, I pray that you will give them hope right now, even as they hear the sound of my voice, that they will hear the sound of your voice to their heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you would like more information, you can visit our website at jensinebard.com. That's one word, jensinebard.com. Or write to us at Testimony, P.O. Box 1333, Palm Desert, California, 92261. That's P.O. Box 1333, Palm Desert, California, 92261. I'm Jensine Bard. Please join us again for Testimony.